Good evening, Azeroth, and welcome to episode 29 of the World of Goldcraft. As usual, I am your host, The Lazy Goldmaker of thelazygoldmaker.com, and we're going to talk about goldmaking in World of Warcraft today. I'll talk you through my week in terms of goldmaking, which is pretty good this week, a little bit about the game and what's happening with the game, and of course our discussion point, and this week I'm going to talk about preparing for patches, expansions, etc., talk through some examples and whether or not this is something that's important as a gold maker. Keep in mind that you can help support and contribute to the podcast by submitting questions if you're a $10 patron on higher or higher on Patreon. And without further ado, let's dive into the week. My week this week has been really good, actually. I managed to hit total sales, which were just below 1.5 million, it's like 1.49, which is of course really good. 1.5 million in a week is a lot of gold. And as usual, it's mostly, this time it was mostly carried by some really big mailboxes on Monday. And then I had slightly smaller mailboxes on Wednesday and Saturday, which is the other 2 days where I collected, cleaned out my mailboxes. I managed to record about a 500,000 gold increase this week. So I went from about 9.5 million on last Sunday. And then today I am just above 10 million gold. It's been a while since I was above 10 million gold. So that's definitely a great sign. And it does seem like I'm past the point of the point where BOE flipping is starting to generate profits. I'm still net negative in BOE flipping overall, but it's getting better. So that's really, really good. So BOE market, definitely the main focus for me and the main way I make gold or make sales at least. So if we're looking at the BOEs this week, I made about 330,000 gold in terms of net profit, which is really good. I spent about 940k, and I made a little over 1.2 million gold, 1.25 or something like that. Actually, 1.28, roughly. So that's pretty good. I am noticing one trend, which is I'm definitely selling a lot of pieces below 50,000 gold. I'm selling very, very few pieces above 100, if any. So if you're doing this market, definitely focus on the lower value, higher volume items. That's definitely the way to go. Specifically, the world drop weapons and trinkets. I buy these if they're item level 355 or higher. They've been really, really good for me. So definitely look at those. If we're looking at the remaining 170k gold profit I made this week, there are, of course, some combination of assorted crafted items that I have on Twilight Hammer and Sylvanas, where I don't craft anymore, but I have a lot of crafted stuff there that I'm still selling off. And then, of course, Battle Pets, which is the other main market that I'm using. And Battle Pets, there's still something that I would only advocate if you're doing multi-realm flipping. They're very, very slow on a single realm, and you're competing with multi-realm flippers, which can have completely different cost structures than you. So I think as far as a single realm market, I think it's way too risky. So I would only suggest doing that market if you're doing multiple realms. Now, outside of the auction house activities, I've hit level 113 on my Alliance Hunter, so I'm leveling slowly but steadily. We're getting closer, or we're on the way at least to level 120 and the start of my 30 days to a token challenge, which I will be doing after I hit 120. And I'm a little surprised about the gold you get from leveling. I'm at about like about 2k gold at the moment, and I've already spent about 700 gold on a crafted jewel crafting ring with a socket to get the 5% XP gem. So definitely you should have enough gold when you hit 120 to start doing auction house stuff right away if you want to. And that's definitely the way I'll be going with the challenge, which is going to be really fun, and I'll be putting out more information as I get closer to 120. It's something I'm really looking forward to, so that's going to be a lot of fun. Now, in terms of the game, there's nothing really too much to say. 8.15 has been out for a while. There's still some stuff to do, of course, in the patch. Nothing much in terms of new PvE content yet, but there's still like the war campaign on the other faction and other stuff that people are probably pursuing. The new raid, the new two boss raid, is still a couple of weeks off. But that's probably going to lead to a decent increase in demand for raid-related consumables again. Don't know how long it's going to sustain. If you want to do some preparation for this, you could take a look at like how the Trial of Valor in Legion changed the prices of stuff like consumables and enchants on your realm. And hopefully that will be comparable, although we don't really know, because there could be different dynamics in BFA. There's definitely changes in which players are, in terms of what players are doing and how many players have left the game since the launch of BFA, etc. So we don't really know, but that's the best proxy. So I think that's going to be it for the game, and we're going to talk about preparing. Which is the discussion point for this week, preparing for patches, raids, or expansions. Now, these are all different changes that represent smaller or larger upheavals for the game. And they represent large or smaller swaths of changes that will impact what players spend time on. Recipes are changed, new crafted items are added, classes are nerfed and buffed. New mechanics, new completely new forms of content are added, and all of this leads to large-scale change in terms of what players are doing. And of course, that means also large-scale changes in terms of what items they want, and what items they're willing to pay gold to obtain. Now, often, some items will have a large increase in their price. And some items will probably have a large reduction in price. And if you can correctly predict these increases and decreases, you're going to make a lot of gold. You can make a lot of gold by selling off, or you're not going to make a lot of gold, but you're going to avoid some losses if you can sell off your items that are going to decrease in price early. And you can make a lot of gold if you buy up a ton of the items that are going to increase in demand and thus increase in price. Now, there are, of course, also huge opportunities to lose a lot of gold. If you make the wrong prediction and spend a ton of gold on an item that you think are going to increase in price, and then it just doesn't increase in price, then you're going to sit with a ton of items that you're probably going to have to sell at a loss. Which is why I don't advocate for stuff investing for a future patch or expansion too much, because it's extremely risky and I've gotten stuff completely wrong. Now, even if you do get something wrong, you'll definitely learn from it. So if you really want to get to the top of gold making, that I think this is something that you should start experimenting with, but definitely do it based on your own analysis rather than following what people say on Reddit or what people say on Twitter or even what I say on my blog, potentially. Because if someone who's a public figure is talking about it, that means that a lot of people are going to probably act on that idea. Which is also one of the other reasons why I don't want to make predictions, because I think I can change the market too much. And I don't personally invest in preparation anymore. I just focus on the gold-making methods that are going to work over time, because that's been by far my most successful way of playing the game in terms of gold-making. I just focus on crafting, flipping, and looking for items that are slightly mispriced and just adding value by crafting a lot of stuff, which is completely you can definitely make these markets more efficient as well by trying to prepare for patches, but as I said, that's not really something I'm doing too much of myself at the moment. So with that being said, there's definitely a huge difference between preparing for a new raid, a patch, or a new expansion, because these are, of course, completely different in terms of scale. Like, for a new expansion, you'll want to get rid of most of your current expansion markets. You want to sell off as many of your flasks as possible, all of your BOEs, all of your crafted gear, you want to get rid of as much as possible of that, because that's all going to lose a lot of value once the new expansion rolls around. Now, usually there aren't too many opportunities to invest for a new expansion, because a new expansion is going to add a whole swath of new items that people are going to spend gold on, which means that any old item is more likely to lose value. Now, there is one thing that you can invest in around the time where a new expansion launches, and that's typically materials for the current expansion. So buying a ton of Legion materials in like the last month of Legion is probably a really good idea. Or even the first months of BFA, because people don't need those anymore. And on a longer term basis, 1 to 2 to 3 years from that point, then you can probably make gold again by selling Legion gear as transmog for people who are completionists and collectors. Because that's what's happened before, like the stuff like crafted PvP gear from Mists of Pandaria sells as transmog, even though it sells slowly. Legion gear sells right now for transmog, surprisingly well, actually. There are many such examples. But outside of that, you don't really have too many investment opportunities with expansion changes. Unless there are some expansion changes that's going to lead to like a lot of new alts, then it'd probably be a good idea to invest in bags. Or like happened at the end of Warlords of Draenor, where they were not going to add a new bag for Legion. So a lot of people bought up Hex Sweep bags. I bought a ton of them. I ended up making about 500 gold per bag eventually, but it took a long time before the price changed. But that was based on the simple analysis that there wasn't going to be a new bag in Legion. So everyone who wanted 30 slots bag would have to buy Hexweave bags. And once all of the Legion content was released, much fewer people would be doing Warlords of Draenor crafting. And that turned out to be right eventually, but it took a lot of time. So let's look at an example that's related to patches and changes in patches. And we're going to look at something from Legion, which is an item that had a lot of increases throughout Legion. And I'm, of course, talking about Obliterum. For anyone who weren't here during Legion, Obliterum was an item that you got from the Obliterum Forge, which was essentially the Legion version of the Scrapper. And Obliterum was used to upgrade crafted gear in Legion. So in Legion, when you crafted an armor piece, you could upgrade it 8 or 10 times, depending on the patch, with Obliterum to increase the item level. And generally, what happened in the patches was that the new patch increased the item level of the base version, and it increased the item level of the highest upgraded variant, and some of them even increased the number of Obliterum you needed to use to upgrade the item. So that meant that in every patch, you wanted to buy more Obliterum, because then you would get higher item level gear than you could do just before the patch. So in pretty much every patch in BF in Legion, with one exception, which was the last one, Obliterum had huge price spikes. So there were a lot of people who made a ton of gold from correctly predicting that, based on the fact that you can now get higher item level gear with Obliterum, so many more people are going to want Obliterum. Now, this eventually turned out to be incorrect for the Argus patch, where the Obliterum price tanked completely after the release of Argus, which I'm not sure exactly why that happened. But the Argus patch added some new crafted gear from Argus, which was upgraded using Primal Obliterum, which was one Obliterum and one Primal Sargerite, which was the bind-on-pickup material from Argus. And that turned out to tank the price of Obliterum completely. Mostly, I think it was because the base Obliterum, or the normal Obliterum-based gear, was turned a little bit obsolete by this patch. And the price never recovered, so if you bought up a ton of Obliterum for the final patch, you would lose a ton of gold. Like, I think you'd lose 50 to 60% of the gold you invested, which is crazy. So definitely pay attention, and don't invest more gold than you can afford to lose if you want to invest. But what you're looking for is items where you can guess that they're going to give a bigger benefit after the patch than they do before the patch, or if they can be used to obtain a bigger benefit. That was the case with the Blitterum. And that, of course, was also going to draw up a lot of the material prices that are used to craft a Blitterum. So there are both first order and second order effects, and it's a super complex system, which is why it's so hard to make good predictions. But that's Obliterum. That was a really good item to invest in. And people made a killing off of investing in that. I personally didn't make a lot of gold off of investing in that because I didn't, but I made a ton of gold from crafting Obliterum, so I still made my gold. Now the next example I'm going to talk about is from BFA. And it's a point where I made a ton of predictions myself, and I turned out to be less correct than I hoped. So we're going to talk about when Old Year opened, I was looking at the herb amounts on EU and on the US. And based on the number of herbs that were actually available for sale, and some assumptions about how many potions people would use when raiding, I was 100% certain that there would be way, way, way too few potions available. So I started investing heavily in battle potions of agility, intellect, and strength. I think I spent 1.5 million total at least. Based on the fact that people aren't going to use too many potions before the raid opens, but they will start using more potions when the raid opens. That was the analysis, and then I had also taken a deep look at the number of herbs available and done the math on how many potions you might use per pull and per raid night, etc., etc. And that's the background, but I turned out to not be completely correct. Now, eventually, I did make a profit on the agility and the intellect flasks. I made about 30% profit, which was much less than I thought I would make. I thought the price would double, but it definitely didn't. It did increase, but it was slower than I expected, and I had to use some neat stacking tricks to even get the best price for my gear or for my items. And then the battle potions of the strength, I lost about 50% of the gold I spent. So that was 200k maybe, or 150k gold lost on battle potions of strength, because I hadn't looked deeply enough at the best in slot guides. And for most strength classes, the potion of the bursting blood was much better than the strength potion, and so that meant that the strength prices just didn't increase. And then there were, of course, a ton of people following my advice, and there were a lot of other people who had noticed the same thing and were talking about it on Reddit, etc. So overall, I think there were a lot of people who lost gold on that. I think I just about made a profit in total. Made maybe 100k, 150k profit off of my 1.5 million gold spent, which is just 10%, which isn't amazing and much less than I had hoped. So overall, I haven't, and that's the last time I did any significant investment, and I don't plan to do any in the future. But if you want to do it, what you want to look for, I definitely think that focusing on gear is much better than focusing on consumables if you're going to invest. And you always want to focus on, if you're focusing on the crafted market, say you think that enchants are going to increase massively in demand, maybe because they're increasing the stats of all of the weapon enchants. I don't think they would ever do that, but this is just a hypothetical. So you could either buy a ton of enchants, or you could buy a ton of materials and craft a ton of enchants. Or, this is perhaps my favorite, you could focus on the rarest material needed for the market and buy a ton of that. So that would mean buying a ton of veiled crystals. The advantage of buying a ton of veiled crystals is that this is very flexible. If the price of the crystals increase, you can sell the crystals. If the price of the enchants increase a lot, then you can still use them to craft enchants and sell those for a profit. And it's generally, it's typically easier to move a lot of materials than it is to move a lot of finished product, but that does depend a lot on the market. So that's definitely something to look for. You can just focus on the rarest material for a specific market, and that's going to be a pretty good approach. But it does depend a lot. That's mostly for consumables. For crafted gear, I would just focus on the materials and then craft the gear after the patch and sell a lot of those. I don't think we'll see anything like the Obliterum craze ever again, unless Blizzard goes back. I think they... I doubt that they will go back, but I would wish that they did, because I think the Obliterum system was really, really good in terms of how it impacted the game. You could easily get gear. You could upgrade it to a higher item level if you had the Blood of Sargeras, and I just think it was a pretty good way to balance the concern of don't buy power versus a system that activated all of the crafting professions in a fun way. But... if we're going to summarize today's podcast, I think you definitely want to look for whether changes in the game will have a large impact on what players want to buy and which items are going to be available in what quantities. Like if they change I haven't mentioned this, but if they're going to have cut the drop rate in half of something, then obviously the price is going to increase and you should buy a lot of it before it does. But look for, is it going to change the number of people who want this item? Then they'll probably be buying more of them. Is it going to change the speed at which you can acquire it? Then the price is going to change. And then just focus on getting out of markets where you think that it's going to be flooded and get into markets where there's going to be too few of these items going forward into the next patch. That being said, the biggest amount of gold is always made. Using long-term methods. So that's where I would put my focus. Learn crafting markets, learn flipping markets, learn farming routes, whichever you prefer, and just focus on that. And on that note, we're going to end today's episode. If you enjoy the show and want more content, then you can read all about gold making at thelazygoldmaker.com. If you enjoyed the show so much that you want to support it, you can also do so through patreon.com/thelazygoldmaker, and you'll get early access to all of my episodes, as well as early access to all of the stuff on my blog. And with a huge thank you to all of the patrons that are supporting the show, I'm going to say goodnight and have a very profitable week, guys.